Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
We're going to get some things going this next year, preparing for the harvest that's coming around us to reach all these people, video-wise, podcast-wise, doing some new things. And he's got a whole host of great ideas, and it's going to be a great blessing. So really thrilled about that. I want to talk to you tonight about trusting God and believing. Trusting God and believing. And I want us to go to a scripture that we looked at last week, Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Would you say it out loud with me? Now, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's say it one more time. Now, before you read it, just expect God to point something out to you. Okay? Now, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What word or phrase stands out to you? Hope. In believing. Power. Abounding in hope. Okay, this is the living word of God now. Alive right now, speaking to you about something. Okay. So something is standing out, an image, a word, a phrase. Okay.
All joy and peace.
Mm-hmm.
In believing. So that word all joy, that means a lot to me, because that's a lot of joy. That's a bunch of stuff there. Yes.
All joy. All joy in any time and in every circumstance. When somebody is a believer and they're going through a trial or a difficulty, and our thing we usually would say about them, if we know they're going through a difficult time, maybe financially or physically or emotionally, we'd say, well, you know, the bottom line is they need to trust God. Right? They need to trust God. And then when it happens to us, we say, why is this happening to me? I mean, I go to church, I tithe, I pray, I have devotions with God. Why is this happening to me? And what would be your reply? You need to trust God. You need to trust God. You need to do what you tell other people to do. You need to trust God. Okay. Trouble comes in this world in all different kinds of packages. And Jesus said, the trouble's going to come while you're in this world, but he said, let not your heart be troubled. Trouble's coming. You're going to have trouble. You're going to deal with trouble. But don't let your heart be distressed or agitated. That's our part. Don't let your heart become distressed or agitated when trouble comes. You believe and rely on trusting God, then Jesus said, well, believe and rely on me. Now, here's where I get in trouble. Maybe you're like me sometimes. It's when you start to compare your trial with somebody else's trial. Or your life with somebody else's life. You got to be very careful, because the devil is leading you down a very slippery slope. And many Christians are offended at God. At God. But they don't realize it at first. Because they get into comparison. Well, so-and-so, pastors can be the worst. Well, look at so-and-so's church. Man, they're growing. They don't have any problems that you know of. And they're doing well financially. They're prospering. They're in this building program. And, well, why isn't God blessing us? Or maybe somebody you know who's about your same age, and they're in perfect health, and you start to have a breakdown in your body. You had to have a knee replacement, shoulder replacement, hip replacement, brain replacement, whatever it is. And you just, I don't understand it. Well, what, you know, what did I do wrong? And they're not even believers. Yeah, or your friends, you know, they're doing well financially. Or their kids are really just perfect. Makes you sick. They never had a problem with their kids. And here's the problem. We can, if you ask enough questions, you'll find out that we can get offended at God. And we would never say it, but we have a question for God. How come you bless them and you're not blessing me, like with the same thing? And that's the dangerous part. The dangerous part is right there. It's where you'll start to step out of faith. You'll start to step out of trust. You'll start to step out of believing that God is good in everything he does and good all the time. You see, our part is very, very simple. The part we play in this thing called life is very simple. Stay in faith, believing that God is good. He has your best interest in mind. He does have a plan for your life. And you are to trust him and believe him. No matter what trial you go through, you believe him for good will come out of it eventually. That's our part. And that's why we have to encourage one another. And here's a prayer that I'd just like you to pray right now. Heavenly Father, I trust you to help me to learn to trust you. That's an honest prayer. I'm trusting you to help me learn to trust you. I can tell when I am trusting God and when I'm just saying I'm trusting God. The difference is very clear to me. When I'm trusting God and unexpected trouble comes in my life, I have peace instead of panic. I have peace instead of getting agitated and angry and frustrated. I can tell. I'm walking in the Spirit then. It's like, wow, I'm untouchable. And that's a wonderful place to be. And you know, anybody who wants to be there can be there if you're a believer. But there are times I've said that and not really meant it. Because I'm a preacher. We're supposed to have it all together. So I can tell when I am really trusting God, I have peace. And when unexpected things happen, it just doesn't bother me. It may bother me a little bit, but if I lose my peace, I can get it back usually within about 60 seconds if I'm walking in the Spirit. No. God's way ahead of me on this. I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. He wasn't surprised by this trouble. So I can get it back real quick. But if I'm not trusting God, it can take a long time. So I remind myself, car breaks down. An unexpected bill comes in. Romans 8:28 was written for us. Who are walking this thing out. And we know. So the question is, do we know? We say, and we know all things work together for good for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. The question is, do we really know that? Sometimes I do, and sometimes I have to go back and preach it again to myself to make sure I really believe that. Hello. Some of you here have gone through tremendous trials. You really have. Some of you have gone through cancer. Raise your hand if you've gone through cancer. Wow. Okay. Some of you have gone through bankruptcy. You've lost everything financially. Anybody? Wow. Okay. Some of you have gone through divorce. Raise your hand. Some of you have gone through abuse, abusive situations. Wow. Some of you have gone through abandonment. I'm looking for somebody to raise their hand on every one of them, because that's good. That means you have a wealth of experience. Some of you have gone through tremendous loss. Some of you have gone through hurt. Some of you have gone through betrayal. And now you're on the other side of it. And here you are on a Wednesday night, a cold Wednesday night, and you come to church to be with a smattering of a few believers who say, I still believe in God. I still trust God. Yes, we go through trials. Yes, disappointments come. Yes, trouble comes. I didn't plan for my life to turn out this way. I didn't expect to be single. I didn't expect to be divorced. I didn't expect to be abused. I didn't expect to be broke. And here I am, and I'm still believing, and I'm still trusting that God is good. He knows what he's doing. He's in charge of my life. I've surrendered to him, and I'm staying in faith. I'm not going the other direction because there's nothing there. I mean, you give up on God, what do you? You don't have anything. You don't have anything. So here you are, still standing, still believing. And maybe at one time, and when you went through one of those things, you thought, this is going to be the death of me. It's going to kill me. This is the worst thing that could have ever happened. But by the grace of God, you're still here and you're still believing. That's the sign of a true believer. You persevere through. You went through the storm. You're still here. You're still breathing. And now you have a testimony. God brought you through that. I mean, every person here, you got a story. Some of you ought to write your story out. Not necessarily to be a best-selling book or anything like that. I mean, it may be. But you should write it out just so your relatives and the people you're going to leave behind have it. The time when you were a single parent. The time when you lost your sight. The time when you lost your job, you lost your bank account, and how you cried out to God, or maybe for a while you didn't cry out to God. Maybe you went the wrong direction. That's part of your testimony. Maybe you got involved in other things, but here you are, you're back. God rescued you, and here you are. You got a story. Don't be silent. Write it out. Put it on paper. Give your story to somebody. I mean, it doesn't have to be your whole life story. Don't start, I was born in 1906. Just get to the point and tell your story of what God did that might help somebody. You know, the many hours as you go and you sit in that doctor's office and you're waiting, and people are picking up these magazines that they really don't care to look at anyway. You could slip out some of your one-page testimonies and say, hey, here, I'd like you to, would you mind reading that? Testimony of how God healed you of cancer. Amen. Testimony of how God healed you, your marriage. Testimony of how God rescued your wayward child. Just one page, just one part of the story. And you hand it out. You don't know who you're going to touch. But you're rich. You are wealthy. With a story, some of you are pregnant with a story that needs to be birthed. You need to write this out. Don't come sit in church the rest of your life. Tell your story. Somebody needs your story. Somebody needs it. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. How many of you would say amen to that?
Amen.
The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may be able to comfort those in any kind of trouble by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Look how many times that word's there. Wow. And that word comfort there is the word paracleo, which is the word for the Holy Spirit. God comforted you. He brought you through heart surgery. Look at you standing here today. I mean, just look, you look healthy, strong, wonderful, smiling. They cracked your chest open, man. They did. They took, like, it looks like a saw that you'd use in your garage. Did that hurt when I said did that? I say that because of what you've been through. You got a story. You have a testimony. And you can help now. Your one part of your mission would be when you know somebody else is going to go through heart surgery, you could go in there and say, let me tell you how God brought me through this.
Amen.
See my scar? Now let me tell you how God brought me through this. Now you come full circle, see. If you keep your testimony to yourself and you're too ashamed because the devil's tried to make you ashamed because you didn't do everything right when you went through your trial and maybe you went into drugs or drinking or whatever, but if you keep that testimony to, then you haven't come full circle. You haven't experienced redemption until God redeems your troubles and he turns them around and uses them for good for somebody else. Don't be shy about, you know, embarrassed about your past. You're a believer now. It's just give somebody else hope who may be in the dark pit right now, and they can be comforted by saying, well, if God did that for you, then maybe he'll do it for me.
Amen.
He comforts us in all our troubles. He comes alongside of us. So in this room right here, in fact, this might be too many people. Probably about 10 or 12 people get together, write your story. Write out the greatest thing God redeemed your life out of. Man, that could be a great help to so many people. When somebody gives up hope, they've given up God. This is the time of year this time of year and the end of December and January is when depression is usually like the flu. And there are a lot of people depressed. And this is the time they need hope. So we need to be looking for opportunities to share at least one facet, one simple thing that God has done for you, provided for you, healed you, helped you. Do you have one thing, at least one thing that you could share with somebody that is just a wonderful intervention of God's love and mercy and grace and healing and help in your life? Do you have one thing? Just raise your hand. Just one thing. One thing. One thing. Yeah. Second Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, that means we don't believe, or we're untrue to God, he remains faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. How many of you would have part of a testimony where you actually quit on God only to find out that He never quit on you? I'm a pastor, and I've told God I quit. Pastor's wife, you've told God, I'm done with this. But God never quit on us. That's his faithfulness, His goodness. That's part of, maybe that's, I'm stirring up something in your memory to make you think of, that's part of your testimony. Because you're going to meet people who say, well, I used to go to church and I don't go to that stuff anymore. Bunch of hypocrisy, a bunch of foolishness. I don't believe that anymore. You're going to run across people like that. People who think they've done it all. You're going to meet some people who think they're so bad that there's no way that they could ever go back into church because the roof would cave in on them. You're going to meet people like that. You need to be prepared with something from your own life, from personal experience, that you can share with them. See, people can't argue with your testimony. They can argue scripture, but they can't argue with your personal testimony. You've got a valuable, valuable deposit of grace in your life that you need to be ready to pull out and use at any given opportunity and tell of the hope that lies within you. And we also have some mystery in all of our lives where, you know, maybe something good hasn't come out of a tragic situation yet. Or something's happened that we don't understand why God allowed those things to happen. Everybody has some mystery like that. Maybe on the other side of heaven, possibly. Maybe we'll look back and we'll realize, I don't know if we'll be allowed to look back or not, but it's possible that we'll look back at this life and the brief time that we had here and every trial and every difficulty that we thought was horrid at that particular time. We'll look back and we'll simplify the whole meaning of life was really just about one thing.
Yes.
Trusting God.
Yeah.
That was it. That was it. Not complicated. Trusting God. So, if that's true, then we should be going somewhere here now in our life with every year, with every passing year, with every passing Wednesday, every passing Sunday. We should be progressing to a place that's going to make us uniquely different in this world where Jesus said you're going to have trouble. And we should be going to this place that James chapter 1 describes. My brethren, count it all joy. Consider it joyful whenever you encounter various trials of any sort. Be assured, understand that the trial and the proving of your faith will bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. And let patience, let steadfastness do a thorough work in your heart so that you may be a people perfectly, fully developed, not lacking anything. Panic-proof. 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 Get to the place where so much people in faith, so abiding in Christ, so trusting in God, so believing in God, that when a sudden storm, a sudden trial, a sudden trouble comes into our life, that we would call it an evil day, that we're not shaken, we're not moving, we may be rocked a little bit,
come on,
maybe a little saddened, maybe shocked, but we're not moving from the place of faith. We're steadfast, we're stable. Okay, we've been through storms before. We're going to get through this one. We're going to trust God. We're going to thank God through the storm. We're going to praise God through the storm. We're going to make it through. We're going to have a testimony. Amen. It's easy to tell other people they need to trust God. You need to trust God. You, Gary, you need to trust God. I know. And I need to trust Him more than I do. Because I'm not sure that, I don't know about you, but I'm not really sure that I've trusted God with all my heart. I want to. But the human part of me says, not there yet, but guess what? That's where we're going. You're going there. You're going there. And it's going to be good. So that's why sometimes we may have to go through some stuff called trouble. But notice that scripture says we're not going to lack anything, lacking nothing. We're not going to lack love. We're going to have enough love, agape love from God to go through this. We're not going to lack joy. We're going to have joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength to go through it. We're not going to lack peace. Oh, we're going to have peace as we go through it. We're not going to lack kindness. Or gentleness. We're not going to lack goodness. We're not going to lack in faith. We're not going to lack in self-control. We're not going to lack in meekness. Everything we need has already been deposited in us. By the Spirit of God and the living Word, and it's put inside us. That little seed called the Word of God that activated your spiritual life and made you born from above, caused faith to be deposited in you. That seed has in its DNA everything that you'll ever need to face any giant, to move any mountain that your life is called to face. You already have it. It's in seed form. And so the Christian life, now when we look at Scripture, we see the Christian life is really a race. Not a race to be first. It's a race to finish well. It's a marathon. Marathon runners need endurance to finish. They don't have to be first. They just need endurance to make it across the finish line. The goal is not to be first. The goal is to finish the race that you've been assigned, that God set before you. Staying in faith. Keep trusting God. Keep believing for the best. Believe that God is in charge. He's in control, not the devil. And so some trials that we go through here are very mysterious to us. But God sees they are necessary trials. Here's a scripture for it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Though now, for a season, if need be, everybody say, if need be.
If need be.
You're in heaviness. Distressed by trials and suffering. There are some things that you're going to go through and you're going to ask God why, and He's not going to tell you why. But He deems it necessary for a season for you to walk through this and trust Him. Job had to do it. Peter had to do it. You and I have to do it. There are some trials, if need be. A scripture in Daniel, when the three Hebrew children were telling the king, we're not going to bow down to your idol. You can throw us in the fiery furnace like you threatened to do, but we're not going to compromise and we're not going to bow down before you because we believe. And there's a great God Almighty, King of heaven, and we serve him. And the king said, well, you think he's going to deliver you? Well, he's able to deliver us, king. But if he decides not to, we're still not going to bow. Here's a very important thing for Christians to understand, so you don't get offended at God and disappointed with God. In your faith, you need to have a clause, but if not. A but if not clause in your faith. Yes, God can heal me of cancer and deliver me from cancer, but what if he doesn't do so? You got it. I'm healed already. I believe it. Whether my body manifests it or not, it really doesn't matter to me. I believe God's word. Yeah, that's right. And then with that kind of faith, Karen, you're panic proof. The devil whispers to you, you get a little ache or pain. Oh, that cancer's come back. No. My God already took care of that. But even if he doesn't do it like I think he ought to do it here on earth, I'm still going to serve him. I'm not going to bow to any other God. But if not, clause. Let God be God. Let God be God. Well, he hasn't done what I thought he would do. He hasn't answered my prayer. He hasn't given me the numbers to the lottery. He hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. Let God be God. Let God be God. Let God be God. Well, what am I to do? Trust him. Believe in him. Thank him. Praise him. It's okay to be honest with you and say, God, I don't understand you. And I don't understand why this hadn't happened yet. And I don't understand why there's not manifestation in my body of healing yet. But still, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to thank you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to stay in faith, and I'm going to keep believing you. Because the alternative is what? Give up hope. Then you're no different from anybody in the world that doesn't even believe in God. So though now, for a season, if need be, if God sees it's necessary for you to go through a trial, I don't know why. God doesn't answer my why questions. He has never answered one of my why questions. And my second question to why he hadn't answered my why questions is, why haven't you answered my question? And he ain't answered that one either. But here's a little insight to why. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect. That means mature. What you ought to be, establish you, ground you securely, and strengthen and settle you like a tree with roots down in love and down in grace and in faith that will not topple over easy when the storms come. No. So you suffer a little while. There is suffering here. There's suffering and healing. There's suffering financially, suffering with... Sometimes evil people do bad things to good people. They're suffering here. It's here. But the good news is God's got his hand on how long that trial's going to last. And if he allows you to suffer, God's not a child abuser. God is not a child abuser. If he allows you to suffer, it's because there's redeeming qualities in that suffering. How many of you could honestly testify tonight? You could say, you know, if I hadn't gone through that trial, I wouldn't know how good God really is. If I had not gone through it, I wouldn't be able to confidently stand in faith tonight. There's some things I just had to go through, and I had to endure. I had to persevere, or I had to suffer. And I didn't see any good reason why, in order that I might know something about God that I would have never known. After you've suffered a while. The Apostle Paul was told by the Holy Spirit prophets, the prophets that the Holy Spirit sent him, that if you go to Jerusalem, you are going to suffer great harm. And he says in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me, so that I might what? Finish my course. That's what you want to do. You want to finish your course. There's a course laid out for your life. You want to finish your course with what? Joy and the ministry. You have a ministry. Your ministry is to tell others around you, your neighbors, your friends, anybody who listen, the great things that God has brought you through. That's your ministry. So I might finish my course with joy and the ministry of which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of what? The good news of Jesus Christ. That he can take all your tears and all your suffering and redeem it and make good come out of it. And your life is a living epistle. Grace Tabernacle began almost 15 years ago in April. With a vision of starting this church, it was an exciting time. We were in the honeymoon period, and nothing could go wrong during the honeymoon period. Right, honeymooners? Yeah, that's right. Then, after a few years, unexpected things happen. Things we didn't plan. Things you couldn't expect, setbacks, disappointments, things didn't happen like we thought they would happen. What do? You keep your eyes on the finish line. Wait a minute, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. The goal is not to be first or to be the greatest or to be the noticed. But it is to finish the course. So pace yourself. Okay, you're going through some trouble. We didn't expect this. I know. But keep going. It wasn't supposed to rain. I know. But keep going. Yeah, yeah. The winds were. I know. But you keep going. And you pace yourself. Okay, okay. I can't give out everything I have right now because I won't have enough to finish. So I've got to pace myself. I've got to pace myself. I've got to get my rhythm, get my breathing. Okay. And okay, but people are passing me by. I know, I know. And they don't have the trouble that they don't have a bad knee like I have. I know. But you do. Don't look at them. You run your race. That's right. Run your race. But it's not fair. Who's talking about fair? Run your race. Run your race. Run your race. Is God talking to anybody? Your race, not his race, not her race. And the goal is to finish it with joy. And if I start looking at over here at so-and-so and over here at so-and-so and wondering how come they don't have the same problems I've got, I ain't gonna have any joy. So after the church had this honeymoon period and we started having issues like every marriage, like every person, like every church does. Now look at the same verse of Scripture in a different version of the Bible. Here's what Paul says out of the New Living Testament. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work that he assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And what is that work? Come on. Have you experienced the wonderful grace of God in any area of your life?
Yes.
Financially, you have a financial testimony? Do you? I mean, it's wonderful that I hear people share testimonies of how God taught them to trust God through their tithing and stuff. Don't get upset about somebody's testimony. That's their testimony. They're bragging on God. I just know God has provided well for me, and he's taught me to trust him. Or somebody's other testimony about healing. Don't get upset about their testimony. And so our work is to tell the wonderful grace of God that we've experienced. This week, I'll guarantee you, God has already ordained that your path is going to be crossed with somebody who needs to hear something that's happened in your life where God brought you through. At first, you may not recognize it, but if you listen and they talk to you, it's going to trigger something that they're going through maybe now is going to trigger something that God brought you through something very similar one time. And you're going to have that opportunity probably within 60 seconds to recognize that you need to somehow briefly tell them how God brought you through. You need to salt their tongue necessarily. You don't necessarily need to even tell them how it all ended. But just say, well, you know, I went through something similar that you're talking about right now. And I came through the other side of it and things really... You know, I'm glad that I went through it, and I can tell you more about that if you want to know. God helped me, and he'll help you. So you salt their tongue without giving them the answer. What is it? What is a work that you believe that God has given you to do, but you're behind in? You're not doing it like you should be doing. I'll tell you one thing for me. Do the work of an evangelist. Share the gospel with people. And when they don't want to hear it, fine, that's fine, you move on. But share the gospel with people. Get back to keeping that the main thing. I mean, that's for me. I believe that that's what God is bringing back to the forefront of my mind. That's why I'm here. Being a pastor is secondary. The primary mission is to advance the gospel and get you to advance the gospel. Be yourself and share Jesus. Now, here's the same scripture in the Message Bible, a little different. Same scripture in the Message Bible, next verse, Acts 20:24. Paul says, what matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about this incredible, extravagant generosity of God. The main thing is for our lives to be used to bring people God's message of the gospel. You may not know how to share the gospel. You say, well, you know, I'd like to know how to share the gospel, and I don't know how to share my faith, or maybe you're scared to talk to people about the gospel. First thing you ought to do is just relax. Just be yourself. Don't try to be like anybody else. Just be yourself. And why don't you just right now, just ask God, if that's a problem for you, ask God to show you how to present his gospel to somebody this week. Just pray it right now. God, give me somebody, cross my path with somebody that the Holy Spirit will remind me that this is what I'm here to do, to share with them something you've done in my life and how you'll do it for them. Now, you can carry a tract. If you need a gospel tract to give to somebody, there's plenty of them. We've got lots of these, and there's all kinds of tracts that share the plan of salvation with somebody. You'd be surprised. If you need some, they're right up here on this front seat. This Sunday, you're going to see in your bulletin a little flyer like this called The Star, A Journey to the Unexpected. And this is made to be something that you give to somebody who's unchurched. And you give it to them and ask them to read that. And if they're interested, there's a website that they can go to that shares the whole plan of salvation and things like that. And so it's just a simple tool. All you're doing is just giving them a pamphlet about Christmas, what Christmas is really all about. Okay? And send Christmas cards to your neighbors with that in it. But please don't let anybody just take that and throw it aside Sunday. Take them and ask God to give you the courage to give it to somebody and that they'll read it. Okay? It's called The Star. You'll have them Sunday. Let's stand together to our feet. Thank you for being patient, listening to me tonight, and I pray that God has spoken to you through His Word. Now, Father, we thank you for the great work you have done in our lives. And tonight, I'm reminded, and we are all reminded, to put our faith and trust in you so that Jesus can be proclaimed through our life, through our trials, through our suffering, through our hardships, through our difficulties. And we can tell the story of a Redeemer, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, God the Son. And we thank you, Father, for Christmas means God is with us, ready to help us. Thank you, Father. Bless this congregation as they go out tonight. Remind them when you cross their path this week with that one who's looking for you. And may they be the star that leads them to Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. We'll see you Sunday. Okay? Yes, sir.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.